When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." This is the word of God.
So way back in 1873, a man named James A. Lynch, he arrived in Palo Pinto County, Texas, and he decided that that's where he was going to settle down, so he established a farm there. And the first thing he did was he dug a well, of course. He needed water for his family, he needed water for his livestock, for his crops. So he dug this well, but he was really disappointed because he got down to the wet stuff there. He got down to the water, and it was so foul-smelling that he couldn't drink it. But his wife was a little braver, so she actually started drinking the water. And over time, she discovered that it alleviated the pain of her arthritis. Yeah. So word suddenly got out that this foul-smelling, mineral-rich water had healing powers. So people started coming up to the well, you know. And you know, by 1900, the whole town had changed. The town had been renamed Mineral Springs. The farm was gone, but in its place there was this big, giant, luxury hotel with a spa built right over the spot where that well was. And people were coming from miles around. People were coming from across state lines. They would come from everywhere at great expense to get a hold of some of what they began to call crazy water. Crazy water. Because it would cure any ill. And it flowed and it flowed and it flowed. So they came for the crazy water. And, you know, it makes sense, right? I mean, we do those kinds of things all the time. We go to great lengths. We spend lots of money. We will go far distances, won't we? To alleviate our aches and pains if we have them. To maybe ease our minds. We take those long, long vacations. We'll go far to fill the needs of our spirit. Sometimes we'll get so desperate. We'll want those needs filled so bad that we will cross any boundary. We will bust through any border. We'll break any chain. We'll break any rule to go where we can find healing and wholeness. Well, the woman in our story today, she's coming up to a well. And she's not coming for crazy water. She's not coming to be healed. She's just coming for water out of the well, you know. She's going up in the afternoon all by herself in the heat of the day to this well. that was near the town of Sychar in Samaria. Samaria is a region that lay between Galilee and Judea. And she's coming up there to that well that day. And as she comes up in the heat of the day, she sees in the distance, here comes somebody else, a man, and it's Jesus. And he's all alone too. And he comes up to that well, and they kind of meet there for a minute, kind of look each other over. Jesus sits down, and he asks a simple question. Can you give me a drink? And this woman from Samaria, this Samaritan woman, she comes back at him with kind of a rude answer, I think. A little kind of, you know, kind of offended, I think. She comes back and she says, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? How can you ask me for a drink? Well, it seems like a little inappropriate, right? I mean, what's so hard? You get that old bucket, you put it in the well, you bring it up, you give the guy a drink, you say, you know, have a nice day. What's the problem? Well, the thing is, packed into her answer, packed into that little answer, is like hundreds of years, centuries of animosity and bigotry, racial and religious bigotry and hate between these two groups of people, Samaritans and Jews. And it goes all the way back, far, far back to the ancestors of this woman who were once purebred Jews, but they intermarried with others, with other races. And at that point, the Jews in the north and in the south, they began to look at them as corrupted, as religiously and culturally corrupted people, as unclean people. There was such animosity between these two people that there were rules against their having contact together, even meeting together, let alone drinking and eating together. If a Jew had to go from Galilee to Judea, he would cross all the way across the Jordan River on the eastern boundary there and walk all the way around Samaria just to avoid contact with a Samaritan person. They really believed that to have contact with a Samaritan person would be to render themselves unclean. Unclean and unable to worship God in the temple. Can you imagine? Well, we should be able to imagine, because it wasn't that long ago that people actually believed that swimming in the same pool as a person of another race would render them unclean. It was just a few months ago at the Olympics, right, that Egyptian Arab guy refused to shake the hand of a Jewish Israeli opponent. So, you know. Before we cast too many aspersions on the ancients, you know, those dumb old ancients, you know, we can always look at ourselves. But the fact is, this woman, with her answer to Jesus, is asking him a bigger question. She's asking him really why it is that this Jewish man has crossed over those important boundaries of propriety between these two people. Why he has busted through these borders of protocol between these two people. Why it is that he would break these rules that have real deep, deep pedigree. Why would he do all those things? Well, Jesus is so awesome, right? He's pretty cool. He kind of just sits back and he lets that wash over him. He lets all that just wash over him because, you know, he knows why he is there. He knows why he's there. And he knows also that her being there, this woman being at that well on this hot afternoon all by herself, that just by doing that, she too is outside the boundaries of propriety, that she too is outside the boundaries of protocol, that she too is breaking some pretty heavy rules. See, the well is a place for community. It's a place where people meet together. especially for women in those days. Getting water was really a tough thing to do. You had to walk all the way up to the well. You had to bring your vessels with you. You had to get the bucket down and pull the water up, fill the vessels, haul them back. The women would get together, and they would do this together. They would share that load. They would share that burden. They would support each other. And they would always do it in the morning when it was cool, or the evening when it was cool, never in midday, never in midday. So the very fact that this woman is all alone in the middle of the day tells us something. It tells us that she is going to this well, the community well, at about the only time when she knows she will not meet any community. Jesus knows. Jesus knows that she is breaking that propriety. She's breaking those rules because she is broken in her spirit. She's broken in her spirit. Jesus knows, and in their conversation, Jesus lets the woman know that he knows that somehow, by circumstance, somehow by virtue of living in a broken world, she has lost more husbands. By divorce, by abandonment, by death, who knows? But she's lost more husbands. She has suffered more loss than anybody should have to suffer in a lifetime. Jesus knows that now, because of the nature of the culture she lives in, she's dependent upon a man who is not her husband. And because of all of those things, this woman alone at that well this day is carrying a burden of shame, and she's carrying a burden of guilt, and she's carrying a burden of sin. And because of all these things, she has been ostracized by her community. She's isolated, and in a culture where being together, where community and helping each other and being together is so valuable, this woman alone is living a kind of living death. So Jesus is there. Jesus has crossed boundaries, broken through borders, broken rules to come to her rescue, to be where she is, to touch that place where she is hurting that nobody else can get to touch that place that needs healing, and offer her something that only God can give her. Offer her something that only God can give her, something that only God can give you and me, and that's that living, crazy water, that living water of forgiveness and of fellowship and of friendship with God. Only Jesus can do that. And he goes anywhere, and he goes across anything, and he busts through all obstacles to do this for her. And he does it for you, and he does it for me. He comes and he showers that crazy, crazy living water upon her. He says to her, listen, hurting person, if you only knew the gift of God, if you only knew how gracious he is, if you only knew how generous he is, how much he wants to shower you and bathe you and fill you up with that love and with that forgiveness. If you only knew this woman, you would be on your knees and with your hands in the air and saying, give it to me. And he would give it to you, this living water, this living water. So the question really isn't for her to be saying, hey, Jesus, what are you doing here? How come you've come here? We know why he comes here. He comes here that day to heal her. He comes there to be with her. The question for her, and sometimes the question for us, is are we ready to let him break down the barriers inside us? Are we letting him break through the boundaries in us to break the chains sometimes that are holding us to our shame, to our burden, to our sin, to those places in us that we think are so bad that no God could forgive them? That's wrong. He wants to. He wants to. wants to shower us with that fire hose of his grace, that crazy living water that says, I'm yours and you're mine. Oh. The question is for her, is she ready? And the question is always for us, are we ready? Are we ready to really take that step? Are we ready to take that step? And it's an important step to take because, listen, no matter how long we've been in church, no matter how long we followed Jesus, no matter how long we've been a Christian, whether it's a day or an hour or a lifetime, there's always going to be places in us that still need healing, that still need his touch, that still need that crazy living water of forgiveness that he can give us. We still need to say yes to God. Give it to me. Give it to me. And it's so important to do it. Because there are so many people around us who need it from us. Just a little taste of that water. And we can't give it if we don't have it. How many people in your life today need a little bit, a little taste of forgiveness today? Do you have it to give them? How many people in your life today need just a little affirmation, just a little bit of a word that says you are loved, you are cherished, you are special? Can you give it? How many people in our lives need today a word of truth, a word of God's truth? Is it filling you up today? Can you give it? Oh, we want to. Oh, we want to. We want to. But so often it's just that moment, it's just that thing that says, yes, I'm ready. I'm ready, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. Take me. Fill up those places in me. Give me that crazy water. Heal my ills, oh God. Heal them. Are we ready? She was ready. She didn't know she was ready, but she was ready. She got up that morning, you know, and she got her vessel and she walked up to the well and she thought, here I go, just one more day of being alone, one more day in isolation, one more day in my pain, one more day of that hurt that's in me, one more day of this that I can hardly stand. And she got up to that well and she didn't know that she was going to meet the Son of God and he was going to touch her where she needed that healing, that he was going to bring her that water, that healing water. She didn't know. She didn't know when she got up to that well that she was going to be so overwhelmed with his love, overwhelmed with his love and healing, that she was going to leave that vessel sitting there, that empty water vessel, this symbol of her loneliness and her isolation, leave it there and run down to the center of that community that for so long had pushed her out and say, Jesus Christ is here. Christ is here. And he's got crazy water. He's got living water. He's got water. And look at me. I'm a changed person. Look at me. She didn't know she was ready, but oh, she was ready. Are we ready? Are we ready? Jesus says to the woman, he says to us, if you only knew the grace, the depth of the grace of God, the graciousness of God, how very, very much he wants to shower us and bathe us and fill us up with that crazy water, with that living water, that water of forgiveness. If we only knew, well, we would just say, yes, yes, give it to me, give it to me. That's what she said. Give it to me. And would you start to play our song today? We're going to play this song today. Lord Jesus, there are people out here today There are people out here today, God, who are hurting. Your children, like I told those kids today, these are your children. These are your children, oh God. See them. See us. Lord, look in our hearts. There's places there that need your healing today. There's places here that need your healing and your grace. Oh, Lord, come in those places. As you sit there today, as you sit in your pews, if you feel you want to come up, come on up. But if you're sitting in your pew and you just feel the Lord asking you to say, yes, fill me up, then say it, yes, Lord, fill me up. Letting go of that pain. Letting go of that place. Letting go of those chains. Oh, Lord, your children are here. Let us know how dear we are to you. How much you want to fill us up with your living water. And let it be today. Let it be in Jesus' name. Amen.